Hello and welcome to Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters, and today we'll look into a number of stories and issues in the news. We'll begin with an examination of the almost certain military response to the apparent use of chemical weapons in Syria and speak with Robert Baer, a veteran CIA operations officer who worked for decades in Syria, Lebanon, and Iraq. The author of a number of bestsellers, Robert Baer is now an intelligence analyst on CNN, and he joins us to discuss why military intervention in Syria is a bad idea, even if it is all but inevitable. Then we'll get a further analysis on a likely U.S. strike from Henri Barki, a professor of international relations at Lehigh University, who served on the policy planning staff at the State Department. We'll discuss growing international pressure on President Obama to act in response to the use of weapons of mass destruction and how a punitive political as opposed to military use of force will do little to change the outcome of Syria's agonizing civil war that the majority of Americans want the U.S. to stay out of. Then finally, we'll speak with Jesse Walker, a senior editor at Reason Magazine and Reason.com. He is the author of a new book, The United States of Paranoia, A Conspiracy Theory, that traces the history of political paranoia in America and explores the reasons why people are attracted to conspiracy theories that may be harmless when ordinary citizens believe them, but can be a lot more dangerous when those in power act on those beliefs. And joining us now is Robert Baer, who is a veteran CIA operations officer who served in various Middle Eastern countries, including Syria, Iraq, Lebanon, Robert Baer is now an intelligence analyst at CNN. He's also the author of three New York Times bestsellers, See No Evil, which was made into the movie Syriana, Sleeping with the Devil, and The Devil We Know, Dealing with the New Iranian Superpower. His latest book, co-written with his wife Dana, is The Company We Keep, A Husband and Wife True Life Spy Story. Welcome to Background Briefing, Robert Baer.
Thanks for having me back.
And it does seem that it's all been inevitable. There are four destroyers off the Syrian coast now with their cruise missiles, and apparently President Obama's, most of his team, the National Security Advisor, the Secretary of State, Chief of Staff, they're all weighing in, as are the British government, the French government, that the red line's being crossed and you have to respond to the use of weapons of mass destruction. Apparently, the only dissenting voices are coming from the chairman of the Joint Chiefs. Is this your understanding of where things stand?
Well, as of today, it looks that way. I mean, they've been making some fairly bellicose statements. And, you know, the president has put his reputation again on the line by saying, if this red line of chemical weapons is crossed and clearly crossed, I'm going to do something. You know, whether he's talked himself into a corner or it's been decided it's of our strategic interest to do this, I don't know. But I think we're a lot closer.
Well, what do you make of reports that the shelling of this suburb of Damascus, where the casualties came from, clearly not from trauma, but from the bodies and women and children would indicate that people died from other causes as opposed to, you know, the trauma of battle. The reports now are that the shelling came from Assad, the brother of Bashar Assad, who heads up the 4th Division, the Republican Guards, came from their lines. Is it possible that the brother, who's always been fairly quixotic and somewhat psychotic from reports that I've read, has he gone off the reservation?
Oh, I think that's possible. You know, Bashar was not truly the chosen designator, you know, the enfant, you know, of Hafez al-Assad, the successor. That boy died in a car accident, and he was an ophthalmologist and wasn't prepared for the role, and he was sent to the military academy. But, you know, whether he has a true control of the military, we just don't know. I mean, I'm agnostic on that. So, yes, it is possible, to answer your question, that Syria, the Alawites, could be falling apart, you know, in the sense that they're not following the president. Yes, it's absolutely possible. And then you have the Shabiha, which is the militias. Did they get a hold of shells? Did they fire them from Maher's position? I just don't know. You know, reports coming out of the front like this, it's hard to verify.
Well, it seems, though, that that the U.S. may not even wait for this U.N. inspection team to get in there. Russia, of course, is demanding that they do wait for this, and it seems that the clock is ticking. Is that the feeling you get?
Well, I think it is. And, you know, let's take the administration's point of view. I mean, can they stand by there where there's a Rwanda-like genocide going on in Syria and that all it'll carry with it, or do they have to do something? I mean, you know, if in fact the Syrians did fire these chemical weapons, what's to stop them from keep firing them, you know, if we don't do anything? And that's certainly a consideration in Washington right now. You know, on the other hand, I'm quite certain that they don't see a clear outcome to this at all. I mean, this is almost a symbolic gesture hitting Syria. I mean, I don't think it'll stop the Alawites from slaughtering people simply because they're a minority with their back against the wall. And they think that if they don't fight back with everything they have, they're all going to die. You know, whether true or not, it just doesn't matter. That's what they believe.
But Robert Baer, how can a political use of force, which this will presumably will be, it won't be a military use of force in as much as there's no way, one, the U.S. Can change the outcome of this battle, and two, I don't think they particularly want to, and obviously the reluctance on the part of General Dempsey, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs, indicates that that's the kind of advice the military are giving the president. So, what is the utility of a political use of force? I mean, are there any examples that we can look at that where it worked?
Well, they're looking at Kosovo when they bombed the Serbs and to hold that back. But that was an entirely different, you know, situation. You can't compare Syria to Serbia. And I think they're casting around, you know, the pundits in Washington. I just haven't seen a reasonable solution, either on paper or anybody talking on TV or anything that's leaked out of government. And I keep in touch with these people that are making policy on Syria. And what worries me a little bit is when they ask me questions. I mean, they're trying to learn. They really are. They haven't made up their minds. We're not talking about an arrogant bunch. We've simply entered uncharted waters on the Arab Spring and everything going on in the Middle East. And you can count on it. We're going to make a lot of mistakes the next couple of years.
Well, always in this situation has been the wild card of Israel, who have struck at least, I think, four times against Assad for what they believe was the transfer of sophisticated weaponry to Hezbollah. And as you know, Hezbollah have entered the battle into Syria itself, and that's had severe repercussions in Lebanon itself, where you've had a tit-for-tat terrorist bombing first against the Hezbollah and then a retaliation in Tripoli against a Sunni cleric. So that could spin out of control. But my understanding has always been that there are a lot of people in the Israeli Defense Forces that would like to pay back Hezbollah for the inconclusive 2006 war, and Israel certainly poised in a good position given how distracted Hezbollah is and how deeply the Iranians and Hezbollah are being drawn into Syria. So do you consider that a likelihood?
Ian, I think they're at a loss too. I mean, you know, they live in a very tough neighborhood. It's getting a lot tougher. And they're looking at past wars to fight this current one. And, you know, I think right now, if any time in the world we need Tehran to see reason and talk to, it's now. The last thing we should do is be talking about, you know, bombing the one country that's still a country in the Middle East. So I don't really trust them on this. You know, they are reacting to the situation as well. They don't know what to do. And, of course, they have a lot higher stakes than we do. But I think going after Hezbollah now and starting some sort of, you know, full-on war in Lebanon isn't going to help them either. But, you know, you're going to have to wait to see when that starts. And I think we're a lot closer with the bombings in Tripoli on Friday. That was That's not happened in a long time in Lebanon. And so the sectarian divisions are spreading rather than being contained.
And again, I'm speaking with Robert Baer, who's a veteran CIA operations officer who served in various Middle Eastern countries, including Syria, Iraq, and Lebanon. He's now an intelligence analyst at CNN and is also the author of three New York Times bestsellers, See No Evil, which was made into the movie Syriana, Sleeping with the Devil, and The Devil We Know, Dealing with the New Iranian Superpower. His latest book, co-written with his wife Dana, is The Company We Keep, A Husband and Wife True Life Spy Story. So the only sort of logical explanation for the U.S. and the West's strategy, for the want of a better description, in Syria has been that, you know, recalling Henry Kissinger's famous remark during the Iran-Iraq war that it's a pity both sides can't lose, that in effect we've just been waiting for them to beat the hell out of each other until they get exhausted. And that seems to be the way it's going. And there may be also a cynical strategy to draw the Iranians in because it's costing them a lot. And it could, you know, there's even been some talk that this could, Syria could be Iran's Vietnam. But I think this use of WMD, if it's indeed the case, surely changes that arrangement. It's really no longer about the Syrian civil war. It's about laying down a marker on the use of WMD, isn't it?
Well, I think, yeah, it's all over the Middle East. I mean, these people are truly desperate. And to fire, you know, sarin or VX or whatever they fired into this neighborhood, whoever fired it is really has crossed the line. And it is becoming dangerous. And the longer these conflicts go on, whether it's Yemen or Syria or even Egypt, the more violent they're going to become and the more there's going to be a temptation to stop them. But the problem is I don't think you can. I mean, it's almost, we're facing a 30-year war here, and you've got to let it burn out with all the tragedy and loss of life. I know it sounds pessimistic. I just have not seen anybody offer up a plan.
So what do you think will be the response then to what appears to be an almost inevitable use of force if it's a punitive strike? I imagine the most likely target would be the main airport, wouldn't it, through which all of the Iranian equipment comes?
You know, Damascus Airport is still open. So what? You close it. You know, you can blow the palace in Damascus off the map. You know, it'd be easy. It's an easy target. You can hit the Air Force, but this is pretty much, you know, a war, a urban warfare, a lot of it. And it's a guerrilla warfare, both sides. And they'll keep fighting. We may feel better. You cannot take out the chemical weapons. They've been dispersed. We don't know which ones have been, you know, they're combined chemicals. We don't know whether they've been mixed. It could be a lot worse. There is no easy targeting except, as you said, the obvious one, the airports. Now, what I don't think, my opinion, is not going to stop Bashar al-Assad or whoever's running that country. They'll keep fighting.
And it's not likely that they will target the leadership, is it? I mean, that's been a suggestion, but if that's the case, I can't imagine that Bashar and his family or Maher are staying in their palaces. I mean, they're watching CNN too, right?
It's not these people. It's not the Assad family has misled the Alawites. You were talking about the Alawites, and now a lot of Christians as well support them, afraid of the rebels who have allied with al-Qaeda. So you're talking about much more than the leadership of Syria. You're talking about two communities, as well as Sunni Muslims who were afraid of al-Qaeda, too. So you're talking about the worst sort of civil war, that removing one leader isn't going to make any difference.
Well, but it started out, I recall, as a popular uprising against the Assads who have, you know, this has been basically their personal plantation, what, for 40-plus years. And they certainly overreacted and in effect helped create this rebellion. But then it's since morphed into this Al-Qaeda...
Well, see, they would give you an argument. The Alawites and the Christians would say, you know, we, you know, if we let democracy come, Al-Qaeda would have arrived, you know, by legitimate means, and we would have still lost our heads. And this is what you have to put in the context of using chemical weapons, is they truly believe that their lives, their existence is at stake, you know.
Well, it's probably an accurate belief, isn't it, given the rhetoric that's coming?
No, I don't think it is. I think Al-Qaeda, if they got a hold of an Alawite, they would, as they have, they've done this on, you can find this stuff on YouTube where they've cut their heads off. And they think the whole community will, that's their fate. Now, the question is, like, how could we possibly protect the Alawites from that sort of retribution if they were to give up power? And I don't think we could. We don't have the army to do it. You can't be deploying U.S. military for 6-7, you know, years at a time, these soldiers gone, and then say, hey, by the way, we've got a third war in the Middle East. We'd like you to go into Syria. It's not going to work without the draft.
But what about Turkey, for example, a country right next door that it's an Islamic country?
Turkey, this is an old story. Turkey and the Persians, and I mean Iran, are fighting over the souls of the Arabs. So they are not exactly helpful in this. A lot of the weapons are passing through Turkey to the Salafis, to Al-Qaeda, and the Iranians, of course, are arming the Alawites. So this is a proxy war on top of a civil war.
Well, the more we talk, the more it appears that the U.S. is right to be cautious, and the polls indicate that the American public are against the U.S. getting involved. That said, if there is going to be some bombing in the next few days, do you think that it's going to change the equation much? They'll just pound the rubble a bit and it'll just continue as is? Or will this be a game changer?
It won't be a game changer. What we risk is getting sucked into a quagmire of actually making it worse. And the worst job in Washington right now is probably Susan Rice's, saying, you know, got to do something. What is it? And she's meeting around the clock. But easy solution, none. I think they would admit that if they could.
So then I guess at the end of the day, it is then going to be a political gesture, military gesture, as opposed to a military gesture. Would that be your final thought?
It's going to be political. And I think we would all be well served if it works.
But you're pretty skeptical it will.
I would be totally surprised if it did. I see things deteriorating. I've been saying this for a year and a half.
Sure.
And people who have lived in that region are as pessimistic as I am. It's not because I'm, you know it better than anybody. It's just what they all say.
Well, Robert Baer, I thank you so much for joining us here today.
Thank you.
Again, I've been speaking with Robert Baer, who's a veteran CIA operations officer who served in various Middle Eastern countries, including Syria, Iraq, and Lebanon. He's now an intelligence analyst at CNN and is also the author of three New York Times bestsellers, See No Evil, which was made into the movie Syriana, Sleeping with the Devil, and The Devil We Know, Dealing with the New Iranian Superpower. His latest book, co-written with his wife Dana, is The Company We Keep, a husband and wife true life spy story. And the rest of the program we prepared for today will be at ianmasters.com in about an hour from now. And Alan Minsky is joining me in the studio here. And for the balance of the program here today, we're going to be offering up some premiums, but we're going to start out with a brand new premium, which has not been offered before. We're going to take a brief station break and be back with further analysis of the impending U.S. strike on Syria.
لما بدأت